morning, everyone. Alan Ellis here. This is the Outdoorsman Radio Show. And on this show, we talk mostly about fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors and the issues that affect us as fishermen and hunters. And you're running the show today because you are. And I like it when you do that. I like it when you're able to call in and talk about any subject in those three categories that you would prefer: fishing, hunting, and the great outdoors. And then I'll try to follow along and comment as possible. What would you like to talk about? And we're going to put it on you right away. I don't have any opening statements. I don't have anything to talk about. It's been an incredibly busy and stressful week this week. And my focus has not been probably on what it should have been, but on what it had to be. How do you like that? So, if you'd like to give us a call, we'd like to hear from you. So start us off, somebody. Wake up, shake out the cobwebs, get your coffee ready, put your slippers on. I know you're already in your robe and your pajamas covered up with your sweatpants and sweatshirt, and then flannel shirt on top of that, and another pair of wool socks on top of that. And that's in your house. I wear a base layer in this kind of weather a lot. Just used to call it long underwear. Of course, it's more technical now. It's a base layer. Polypropylene or whatever the stuff is that's allegedly to keep you warm. And I bought a set on sale somewhere. I think there was a Sears store going out of business or something. I don't even remember. But nice base layer, pretty nice. And, and it had these holes up near the sleeve. And I said, what are those? What's that for? And they said, well, that's so you can put your thumb in there and that you don't lose them up your sleeve. Really? And I'm thinking back to when I was a kid, and, we actually did have winters when I was a kid back in the 60s. And I didn't have any long underwear on, but I mean, you'd put a sweatshirt or something on, and then you'd put one of those, heavy coats on, and I mean, you'd layer up. But your mother always taught you that you had to pull your sleeve up and hold it with your four fingers and then shove your fist down the sleeve of your coat, hanging on to that lower layer or two layers for dear life. Brian, did you do that? No? You have no idea. Well, anyway, it was never cold where you lived. But now, you see, you don't have to do that. The nanny state is taking care of that. Yeah, for all the little crumb crunchers and people that never had snow when they were children, now we actually sew a hole in the end of your long sleeve clothing so that you can put your little thumb food in, and then you don't have to do any work. You can put your fingers down your sleeves. Anyway, just an observation, means nothing. Let's talk to John in Queenstown. Hey, John, how are you?
I'm doing well this morning, I guess.
Okay.
Interesting that you mention about the holding on to your sleeves and pulling them through.
Yeah.
And by the way, what they're doing for the kids now, for extreme, be it, ice exploring, going out, doing dry suit diving.
Yeah.
The high-tech thinslet, polar tech undergarments, the one piece that you put under those types of deals when you're going out in serious, serious icy cold, they all have thumb loops built into them so you can pull through.
Yeah, that's what I said.
For the kids, they're actually pulling down from the high-tech stuff.
But, really? Yeah.
I do elder care for my 94-year-old mother at post-stroke, and a lot of things that you learn in life get erased with a stroke. But the things that were imprinted so many years ago,
yep,
she still is well-programmed to do that. But the reason for my call this morning, I don't know if you saw yesterday's Washington Post front page.
No.
All this astonishment that in Europe, the ultimate anti-gun, tightly regulated, need to learn a phone book's worth of information in order to own and possess a firearm.
Yeah.
Created a very lucrative and robust. They put the arms black market in business in Europe and made it so that all of the bad guys, all of the illegal people obtaining guns, have a very easy channel to which to buy whatever they want to. So all of the good people, the people following the laws, are tightly regulated and are almost unarmed. And that has created a huge black market. It puts the black market people, the bad guys, in business. It enables them.
John, I don't know that we'd have anything like that in this country. Can you think of any place where that can happen?
Well, everybody told us that that wouldn't happen then, that by, you know, that more controls on, that you put on the citizens and the honest people, that you'll also impact the dishonest people. And even the Washington Compost had it right there on the front page that, gee, that just isn't quite so.
Hmm. Did they cite any examples? Like Chicago? Like Chicago or like the hometown of the Washington Post?
They didn't get into it that deeply. Of course not.
Why would they do that?
Out in foreign lands, it's all so strange and new, and how could that possibly correlate to the U.S.?
Of course, yes. Well, I mean, what? All right.
But at least there they said, huh, imagine that. Would only the, you know, would all the good people are regulated, and the illegal people or the bad people are the ones that are getting illegal guns, but it absolutely created the market.
Yeah, two of the strictest gun control cities in the country, Washington, D.C. and Chicago, Illinois, two of the highest crime rates in the country. So, all right, got your point. Thanks, John.
All right, and as soon as things thaw out, we'll have to get the line in the water. But right now, my bobber just keeps bouncing across the ice. It doesn't work very well at all.
I guess if you wanted to go trolling in Deep Creek Lake, you need a snowmobile.
Yeah. But, you know, probably use spider wire or something like that to troll with, because that stuff cuts through anything.
Yeah, not through that ice. I talked to the folks up there the other day, and I got to tell you, they're not even going out on the ice. Well, some of them aren't. I mean, you get a day like tomorrow, maybe, but for the most part, in this kind of weather, it's miserable out there. Why would you? So.
Yeah, for hey, stay warm. Keep sipping your coffee.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll keep that up. I know that annoys people, but I like doing it, so.
Hey, you're joining the chorus with us out here.
Well, that's the idea.
You may not be able to hear us, but we're all a chorus.
I got it. Okay.
People have to listen more carefully. They can hear the whole chorus.
They can hear the crackers crunching and the coffee slurping and all that. It's good stuff.
Absolutely.
Quality radio. All right, buddy. Thanks, John. See ya. All right, everybody. 1, 2, 3. Take a slurp. You ready? Ah, that's good coffee. Right out of the Keurig. All right. That was a good call. 410 WCBM 680. Let's have John lead it off today, and why don't the rest of you follow suit if you don't mind. 410-922-6680 is the phone number. 1-800. Did I say 800? 410-922-6680. 1-800-922-6680. How are you dealing with the weather? What do you wear when you have to go outside? You know, I really do appreciate the fact that we got people out there, people who work for, you know, the electricity companies and the people that work for the law enforcement agents and the firefighters and that type of thing, that they just, you know, they just have to deal with this. Weather, it's just another part of living, and the people that have to work outside. I mean, you know, I'm not concerned about the wild animals. I got an email the other day. Let me see if I can find it. I was copied on an email. There it is. I'm not going to name any names. All right. Let's see. Dear friends, the wild birds, squirrels, and cats who have long found nourishment in my backyard are being totally deprived of food on the diabolical insistence of my neighbor. The attached sanitized letter describes our plight. Thus far, there's been no official alleviation of this enforced starvation from either the mayor or from any other part of Baltimore City government. Please, 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 capitalized, underlined, bold, pray for a miracle. That this unimaginably evil woman may be stripped of her power to coerce me any longer, so that these little ones may continue to find sanctuary in my backyard. And then it goes, apparently he was fined for feeding stray cats. Had another fine for a cat running loose. No Baltimore City cat license for a cat, $25. No rabies vaccination for a cat, $50. So one of his buddies decided that it was great to help him out. I understand your sadness over the joy you had in feeding the little birds and others. At where I live, the management really clamped down on my wife's feeding of wildlife to the point of threatening eviction. I got the verbal wrath, not the wife, the perpetrator. In the long run, they're right. Uneaten feed, say bird seeds, will draw rats and mice. Life has changed. It will never be what it once was. You were weeing in the wind to plea to the mayor's office for help. They can't get involved with that. There are ordinances against the same in place. There's always ways around this situation, though. A thought that I found that works. You must now develop some deviation. Most birds and squirrels love peanuts, so take a very small paper bag and put some peanuts and bird seed in it. Venture out of your house with a bag in your pocket. Go to a place that's visible to you from your rear viewing window, but not so obvious to said neighbor. Remove the bag and release the food next to your foot. Out of view, not much food. So all can be consumed. Always return to the front of your house after said walk. Never cast the food. Just let it fall at your foot. If you need any other criminal advice, I'm your man. That's the way they got rid of the dirt in The Great Escape. Anyway. I don't know if you want to hear my comment back or not. Dan, north on 95, how are you? What's up?
Oh, I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good, man. Are you driving a truck today?
Yeah. Going up to Bel Air, have breakfast. Buddy.
I got you. Good for you. Well, eat a nice fried egg for me with some bacon and some rye toast, and we'll be good.
Hey, you know those you're talking about the loops of the sleeves and log guns?
Yeah,
I've got a couple of those. In fact, I've got the world's heaviest polar tank bait layer that's put out by you know who, the world's largest outfitter.
Yeah, you can say it. You can say it. That's fine.
But they. Oh, it's the warmest thing I ever had on. But,
yeah.
What I found is, on all mine that have the loops in them,
yeah.
And I just leave my thumb through there.
Well, yeah, it helps warm the back of your hand.
Put my gloves on over.
Yeah.
And, it really helps keep my hands warmer with a lighter pair of gloves.
Sure it does. Yeah, well, it's the same technology as the jacket I got from My Core Control. It heats, you're heating up the vessels that go in and out of your wrist. And when you heat that blood up, you know, by an external source, that warm blood flows into your hands and then it flows, you know, back to your heart. And as it goes back through and gets pumped out, it warms, you know, warms your whole body, basically. I mean, it may not feel like it's warming a lot, but it's certainly very helpful. And it remains, your comfort level remains a little bit better and a little bit longer.
Well, more than once I've put toe warmers in the back pockets of my trousers.
Yeah. Yep, you can do that. Before I got this jacket, I would, even this year, I was taking them, the little chemical warmers, and I was locking them under my sleeves at my wrist. Because I've always believed that, in the last decade or so, I believe that if you, you know, warm those your wrist up, the inside of your wrist, that it'll can help you maintain warm hands, and it does. So.
Right, any place the blood's close to the surface, it just acts like a radiator.
Exactly right. Yes, sir. Yep. Well, stay warm out there today. Enjoy your breakfast.
Well, thank you. I'll be working outside today, cutting firewood.
Oh, boy. Well, you got a good day.
The street just went down, and I don't want to see it go to waste.
You got a good day for it.
Yep.
All right, brother. Thank you. See you. See you, Dan. Bye-bye. There goes Dan. All right. You know, it's time for the Maryland Fishing Challenge. You might not be thinking much about fishing today, but, you know, I just want to keep in your mind that the Fishing Challenge is alive and well. It's a free year-round tournament hosted by the Maryland DNR Fishery Service for everyone who's a recreational fisherman here in Maryland. The fish include all the game fish from the Atlantic Ocean to the clear, cold mountain streams, including more than 65 species in five categories: freshwater, Chesapeake, Atlantic Coast, catch and release, and even invasive species. There's also a youth division connected to the free online Maryland Youth Fishing Club. You catch a fish of notable specified size, you receive your official angler award certificate, and with that you get an invitation to the grand finale in September, where you could win a Tracker Marine boat package, an exotic fishing vacation from the World Fishing Network, Costa gear, tackle packages from Bass Pro Shops and Bill's Outdoor Center, and more. Avoid cabin fever. The fish are biting under the Deep Creek Lake ice. And actually, we had two 14-inch yellow perch checked in this week from Deep Creek Lake. They're biting in the Potomac. They're biting on the Eastern Shore ponds. Well, they were in the bright western trout streams and under the Chesapeake Bay Bridge and in the deep Atlantic waters off Ocean City. Hey, it's time. Now's not the time to stay indoors. Well, maybe right now is. But you get a little break in the weather. Absolutely. Get out there. Go fishing. The official rules are online at dnr2.maryland.gov/fisheries. Oh, Chesapeake Outdoors. Oh, the sales continue, by the way. 10% off firearms. Selected bows and crossbows have been specially priced. You need to check that out if you're looking for a bargain on that. 40% off all camo clothing, including great Drake waterfowl gear. Yeah, all that stuff's on sale. And the fishing tackle aisles are absolutely jam-packed, stocked full. The courteous and friendly staff have been working their bleep off. Yeah, you didn't have to do it, Brian. I did it. That was a self-bleeping. And they're working their bleeps off, getting the shelves full of striped bass gear. They've got some beautiful custom trolling tackle umbrellas and that type of thing. Custom painted, beautiful colors. They got the big old Mojo heads up to, I think, 24 ounces or something like that, and some of the spanking striper trolling gear. So check all that out at Chesapeake Outdoors. Where is this wonderful store located? Where is the first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers? Well, it's exit 39B. That's Dominion Road, right off Route 50 East. That's on Kent Island, Maryland. If you need to get directions, or, you know, you can't figure that out, I mean, there's how many signs? Going over Route 50, how many signs do you see over your head? Listen, 39B, that's all you got to remember, Dominion Road, for Chesapeake Outdoors. 410-604-2500, 604-2500. This is Alan Ellis for Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie, spray-on bedliners. Catonsville Linex and Bay Linex of Glen Burnie are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex spray-on bedliners, with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex spray-on bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer, blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands, tools, and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex spray-on bedliner from Catonsville Linex or Bay Linex of Glen Burnie. Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. Call 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Bay Linex of Glen Burnie's new location is 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199.
If you're a working man and your truck breaks down, you only need to know one repair shop: W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg. They built your reputation on getting you in, fixed, and out the door quickly, efficiently, and at a very competitive price. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles, large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Just look for that big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410, W&W Tire and Auto.
According to these morons at the National Journal, Pelosi going to see Assad, a terrorist running a terrorist regime, is no different than John Boehner inviting an ally of a democracy to come speak to Congress.
Mark Levin, weeknights at 7, Talk Radio 680, WCBM.
CBN. No, I'm not going to compete with Alabama, although I could. I can outsing those guys. Oh, is that Skinner? Well, yeah, Sweet Home Alabama. So my brain hasn't been working for about a week. It's okay, though. We'll figure it out. Oh, it's a little longer than that. Thanks, Brian. You got to keep your sense of humor. If you lose that, you're done. But I'll tell you, a couple times this week, it was stressed. Yeah, it was. I wasn't laughing. But anyway, what was I saying? I'm clueless. All right, 410 WCBM 680. That's what I was saying. 410-922-6680. You folks are running the show today, so get that call in here so we can keep moving with a high-quality super radio broadcast of the Outdoors and Radio Show, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. I decided not to talk too much politics today. I know you love that. You hate it when I talk them, but you know what? The issues that are important to you, and I can't stress this enough, as hunters, and maybe you're not as deeply as involved as I am. Maybe you're way deep into it. As hunters, we have come to expect a lifestyle that, I mean, we live a lifestyle that, you know, is different than most of the people in public. I mean, sure, we have our occupations. But, boy, when fall rolls around and the days start getting a little chillier and you know, a little shorter and the leaves start to turn, Something awakens in me. I mean, it's like spring with some people. Now, don't get me wrong. I like spring, and I like to, you know, everything that goes with that. But fall is when October is when I'm at my best. I'm at my best. October into November, and we do things that other people don't. We plot and we plan, and we get ready. And, you know, we are going into God's creation to challenge one of his creatures. Now, that may be a little over the top for some of you. Some of you just say, well, I'm going hunting and kill a deer. Okay, that's fine. Yeah, well, I'm going hunting and kill a goose. Okay, simplify it all you want. But to me and to a lot of us, it's deeper than that. It's our nature. It's our soul. And it's what you know, it's not what we are, but it's what we do, and it part of what we are. Let's put it that way. It's ingrained in us. It's handed down from generation to generation to generation. I mean, I can remember stories from my grandfather and my dad and, you know, that type of thing. And it's a family activity. And when someone or something comes along, especially a lawmaker, or a special interest group. And don't get me wrong, Merrill Hunting Coalition is a special interest group. But when someone comes along and challenges my privileges and my hunting heritage and my lifestyle, I'm going to address it. And I think you should too. Now, the biggest issue here, and some people think has been recently, is Sunday hunting. And there's a battle, always a battle raging over Sunday hunting, increasing the opportunity for us to hunt on Sundays. We've been hunting on Sundays in Maryland for, you know, a decade. It's 2003. It'll be 12 years this coming season. Hold on. And yet, there continues to be battles by those who are opposed to us. And the biggest opponent is the Maryland Horse Council. And, you know, they make claims that are out there. And, you know, as hunters, we have to try and speak to lawmakers, as I mentioned, in factual terms. We have to present facts. We have to take the high road. We can't get involved in name-calling like they do. We can't get involved in emotional arguments like they do. They just overwhelm the room because they are all pretty much, you know, I'm gonna think about what I say before I say that, because I just painted them all with a broad brush. I'm not even going to go there. You figure it out. But the Baltimore County delegation voted the other day. This is the House of Delegates, and this is the vote. They voted 12-8 with two abstentions. 12-8 with two abstentions to kill Delegate Cluster's Sunday hunting bill. All Delegate Cluster wanted to do was go back to 2003 and include Baltimore County in the original deal that was struck in 2003 that said you can hunt the first Sunday of November with the bow and you can hunt the first Sunday of firearm season. You would have thought that Delegate Cluster was a serial arson You would have thought that Delegate Cluster had committed a felony when he put that bill in, to hear the wailing and gnashing of teeth that we heard. I mean, this was going to end their lives as horse owners as we know it. Horrible things were said. Well, the delegation voted to kill that bill. However, District 6, you have a strong lawmaker over there, Senator Johnny Ray Sollings, and I salute Senator Johnny Ray Sollings on this radio show because Senator Sollings put a bill in to expand Sunday hunting in Baltimore County, go back to 2003, the original 2 days, first Sunday of November and the first Sunday of firearm season. That's it. That's what the bill calls for, okay? Despite the delegation's vote, and you know you need both houses to pass the bill, the senator did not withdraw his bill. He said, I'm going to take this to committee. And he sits on the Environmental Matters Committee in the Senate that hears hunting-related bills. So Senator Sollings, S-A-L-L-I-N-G-S, bill is going to be heard on Tuesday. And what we need is warm bodies in the room. We have people who might be willing to testify. If you're willing to testify that you're in favor of Sunday hunting, we would love to have you there. It is in the Senate office building down by Lawyers Mall in Annapolis. It's at 1 o'clock. If you want to get in the building, you're going to have a photo ID. You're not going to be allowed to carry your pocket knife. You're going to have to put your keys in your wallet and your cell phone in a basket and go through security and get a little visitor's tag. Standard operating procedure. I do it every time I'm in Annapolis. What we need to do is fill the room with Baltimore County hunters. There are 8,900 licensed hunters in Baltimore County. Do you think we can get 24 to fill the room or to at least show up? This is not a blazing camo rally or anything like that. This is just a very respectful, we're going to be here to support our senator event. Tuesday, 1 o'clock, Senate office building. Now, here's how that works. When you get to Annapolis, you get off the Roe Boulevard exit. That's Route 70. You head towards Annapolis. The second light is Taylor Avenue. You turn right on Taylor Avenue. You go to the third gate for the Naval Academy parking lot. And if you look up on the hill, you'll see a plane sitting there. You turn into that parking lot. It's $5 to park. Okay? It's $5 to park. You park your car. You walk to the plane. There's a bus stop there. You go get on the shuttle. You take it to the last stop, which is Lawyer's Mall, Lawyer's Circle, whatever they call it. You find the Senate office building right there, and you go in. Hearing's on the second floor. We would like you to participate. This is your chance. This is a chance to stand up for what you believe in. And it's not even about Sunday hunting, in my opinion. It's about making our presence known to our lawmakers in Annapolis. There are 100,000 hunters in Maryland. We spend $267 million in Maryland every year. We support 4,500 jobs in Maryland. I don't have all the tax revenue and all that stuff memorized. I'm just telling you that we're a force. We're four times bigger than the Maryland Horse Council. Four times in number, larger than the Maryland Horse Council. And yet, they eat the hunter's lunch every time a bill comes up. They're not going to quit. They haven't quit since 1999. The last couple years, they've hired a lobbyist. In the last 10 years or so, Maryland sportsmen were represented in Annapolis. In 2014, they weren't, and we lost a couple big issues. Not this year, last year, 2014. Now we have an advocate in Annapolis. The Maryland Hunting Coalition has hired our own advocate, our own lobbyist. We don't have any money to support them. We have to depend on our members and generous businesses and things like that to, you know, try and fund our organization. Because to join, it's absolutely free. You just join the organization. You're going to get a newsletter. You're going to get an update on everything that's happening. You know, anybody has access to our Facebook page, Facebook/MD Hunting Coalition. Anybody has access to our website, mdhuntingcoalition.org. But we'd like the Baltimore County hunters who are listening to take a half a day, go to Annapolis and stand up for your privileges, your traditions, your heritage, your lifestyle. All you have to do is stand in a room. It's $5 to park. Nice young lady there will very graciously smile at you and take your money and tell you you better hold on to your receipt if you want to get back out of there. You park nearby, you pick up the shuttle, you ride downtown, and that's it. It's pretty simple. I don't know. If you're over 60, it's $1 to ride the shuttle. I'm not sure what the fee is. Take a few ones along, and you'll figure it out. So your time and less than $10, and you can do something that could change the face of hunting here in Maryland and tell the Maryland Horse Council that, folks, we're alive and well, and we're not going to let you stomp on us anymore. And if legislation gets blocked, it won't be because of you, because we're going to have our say, too. 410 WCBM 680, 410-922-6680 is our phone number. I'd like to hear your comments on that little thing. I told you you were going to dominate the show, and you certainly can, but nobody's called, so I got to talk, or we just don't say anything. I mean, I can sit here and eat, you know, crackers and drink coffee all morning, but we're not going to do that. Brian wouldn't allow me to do that. He'd come in here and take the microphone off of me and beat me with it. So we wouldn't want that. But it's important. And you might say, why are you so worried about it? Well, you know what? I got a 15-year-old grandson. What do you have? How are you brought up? I mean, do you really? You know, we have a new administration. We have a new DNR secretary. we have a chance. We have a chance to make a difference. So, and we have an organization now. And we have an organization called the Maryland Hunting Coalition. And what does that mean? Well, it's very simple. You don't get anything done if you're a sportsman if you don't have the support of the Legislative Sportsman's Caucus. That's a group of senators and delegates. And the chair on the Senate side is Senator John Astell from Anne Arundel County. And the chair on the delegation side or on the delegate side is Delegate Wendell Beitzel from Garrett County. And these men are avid hunters. These men are sportsmen. They understand the issues. They introduce legislation. And they chair the largest caucus in the General Assembly, which is the Sportsman's Caucus, who speak to and work with their own senators and delegates in their own sphere of influence for sportsmen, hunters and fishermen. But they need that. They don't do that on their own. They have our back. We are working hand in hand with the caucus. And we don't get anything done without them, and we need to support them. So we appreciate the caucus recognizing the Maryland Hunting Coalition as an entity that can be trusted to be dealt with on hunters' issues. That's it. Let's talk to Russ in Ellicott City. Hey, Russ, how are you?
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Not too bad. We got a couple good delegates here in Howard County. We don't have Sunday hunting either.
No, you don't.
I don't know how it's going to change. Most of them are pretty much of the liberal persuasion.
Well, you got to understand something, Russ. Maryland Hunting Coalition doesn't come to Howard County and demand that they put Sunday hunting on the docket.
Yeah.
That's what the hunters have to do.
Yep.
The hunters in Howard County have to stand up and say to their delegation, to somebody in that delegation, would you please advance a Sunday hunting bill in the General Assembly? If that gets done, then the hunters have to stand up and support that delegate or that senator. That's how local bills get passed. The Maryland Hunting Coalition does not necessarily get involved in local politics. We can inspire our Howard County hunters who might be members or who might hit our Facebook page or listen to this radio show and say, hey, folks, there's a hearing coming up. You got to be there. But as an organization, we don't take the ball away from the local folks and say, we got this. We'll run with it.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you want Sunday hunting in Howard County, Russ, you got to start the process. You and other folks in your community or in your hunting club or your sportsman's club or whatever, you need to start to talk to your politicians. Look, these guys are vote driven. Number one, you got to be registered to vote. Number two, if you're not registered to vote, you got to have somebody who is speak for you. Okay? You've got to take the bull by the horns. You've got to get that ball rolling in your local delegation.
Yeah, we did that a few years ago. They had a proposal. You talked about it on your show. That somebody they shot and hit a place behind a daycare center. Or
yes,
something.
I remember.
And we had a big proposal to ban hunting within 500 yards of
I
hunting.
Understand.
And we turned out like gangbusters for those hearings. We had a bunch of people there.
Yeah.
We outnumbered the antis.
That is exactly what we need on Tuesday.
Yeah.
From Baltimore County.
You people get motivated. They'll turn out for something like that. It seems like an emergency is the only thing that seems to do it.
How do we get people to be motivated on a regular bill in the General Assembly? How do I reach people, and how do we reach people as an organization and say, you know, we can't always be ringing the alarm bell. We're not going to be crying wolf, okay?
Yeah, you're
but
right.
You can't.
It doesn't work all the time if people get.
They get burned out, exactly right. And you can't keep sounding that alarm bell. But if you say to them, look, if you don't show, you're going to lose. Some people shrug their shoulders. Some people don't care.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. They say, I'll let the other guy go down there and testify.
Exactly. Exactly. Somebody will do it. Well, I'm gonna give out an email address, and it's info at mdhuntingcoalition.org. And if you go on the website, you'll see that that's how you contact us.
Okay.
All right. And we'd love to have you there. Just sit in the room quietly if you want. But yeah, I understand. Now you had another question.
Yeah. I'm wondering if they're going to say in a few weeks. I'm 56 and a half years old, and I never remember it being this cold this late in February. And I'm figuring for the crabbing this summer, this isn't going to be too good, because I remember a few years ago, it didn't seem to be this cold, and they said we had a big crab die-off. I wonder if they say that's going to happen this year.
Well, you know, I don't know that it's necessarily the cold weather. I mean, we've had eons of crabs in the Chesapeake Bay, and we've had the bay freeze solid. I mean, well, not solid. We've had the bay freeze over on other occasions. And, you know, it to me, that big crab die-off, the thing that made most sense to me was the late-season hurricane during the migration south that swept those crabs out.
Oh, okay. So
that's what made the most sense to me, and that's
turned
what
up the water.
Well, it turned up the water, but it also flooded. It flushed the bay like a big toilet.
Yeah.
And those crabs that were on the migration route, pretty much from estimations, and I'm no expert, trust me, but speculation by those people, speculation, I guess, is a better word. Those crabs got washed out almost into the Gulf Stream, and that's why North Carolina had better crabs than we did, and that type of thing. So I don't know if that's part of it or not, but I do think that dramatic weather events can change the focus of where the crab's going to wind up. But I think if we've had a relatively mild winter, I think they're still buried deep in the mud, and still will be. It's a lot.
We had a real, real cold winter back in 76, 77. I remember the bay froze up and all then. And
yeah.
I never remember saying anything about the crabs dying off that winter. And
well, exactly.
It was pretty cold, too.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, brother. Appreciate that.
All righty.
Thanks, Russ.
Okay, so long.
See ya. Gunter, good morning.
Oh, just want to say hello.
Hello.
And I like what you represent, and I enjoy your shows, so I hope you never stop.
Well, thank you, but eventually I will.
Have a nice day.
All right, Gunter, thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, bye-bye. Thanks for your support. Appreciate that. Time for me to tell you about Clyde Sports Shop. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, just off Beltway, exit number 9. Let's see. Flip a coin. Do we talk about guns or do we talk about fishing? Well, let's talk about fishing. Fishing. Fishing season is right around the corner. You know this weather's going to break, and you got to be ready. So why not, in this kind of weather, take your rods and reels in and get your reels cleaned and lubed and all spick and span. Get your rods all in good shape. Get the guides that are broken fixed. Get the tips that are busted off replaced. Check out the racks of all the new tackle while you're there. Look up and down the aisles for the panfish and trout and striped bass tackle while you're there. And just browse and chat and talk about fishing and realize that Clyde Sports Shop has live bait year-round. They have a fishing report on their telephone that you can call. 410-247-3474, 247-FISH, 24-hour hotline with a fishing report. And you can, just enjoy the company of others, like-minded individuals like yourself. A little fellowship. So, get ready for fishing season. Stop by Clyde Sports Shop. Get some new line on your reel and check them out. 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road in Lansdowne, 21227 Baltimore. They're open 7 days a week. You can call them at 410-242-6108. That's 410-242-6108. Now, for those of you on the Eastern Shore, where is your first choice? Well, on their ad, it says first choice for Eastern Shore hunters and anglers. That's Chesapeake Outdoors. Chesapeake Outdoors is an archery pro shop, among other things. They are fishing tackle specialist. They're also ready for fishing season. They have been working their boops off to stock the shelves with brand-new fishing tackle, a large selection of rods and reels, trolling gear, trolling baits, custom lures, mojos, spanking stripers, all of that right there for you to take a look at. If you're headed on down the shore this weekend, take a few minutes and hop off exit 39B. That's Dominion Road right there in Kent Island. Swing around the circle there. Stop in the parking lot. Walk in. Go, wow, check it out. Walk around the aisles for a few minutes. You know, stretch your legs and then see what they have going on. All the camo waterfowl clothing is on sale. 40% off. 40% off. Select bows are on sale. Select crossbows are on sale. Firearms, 10% off. Check it all out. Route 50 East, exit 39B, that's Chesapeake Outdoors. 410-604-2500. 410-604-2500.
This is Alan Ellis for Baylinex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex Spray-On Bedliners. Baylinex of Glen Burnie and Catonsville Linex are proud to provide outstanding customer service, just like their number one rated Linex Spray-On Bedliners with a nationwide lifetime warranty. A Linex Spray-On Bedliner completely seals out water, meaning no rust. It has a durable non-slip surface, is impervious to fuels and harsh chemicals, deer blood, crab juice, and it protects against impact and abrasion from tree stands and tools and all the other junk you carry in your truck bed. It's easy to clean at your local car wash, too. Protect your investment, your pickup truck, like I did with a Linex Spray-On Bedliner from Baylinex of Glen Burnie or Catonsville Linex. Baylinex of Glen Burnie, new location, 201 Wholesome Way in Glen Burnie. 410-789-0199. That's 410-789-0199. And Catonsville Linex is located at 5617 Baltimore National Pike, inside Beltway Exit 15A. 410-455-0800. That's 410-455-0800. Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. With 10 locations in Central Maryland, there's a Battery Warehouse convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Cockeysville, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville, and Woodlawn. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you. W&W Tire and Auto Service in Finksburg has taken care of my trucks for over 25 years. Anything from a simple oil change to extensive engine work, brakes, tune-ups, everything, their motto is, we do it. Bridgestone and Firestone tires for pickups, SUVs, and commercial vehicles. Large trucks, motorhomes, even diesel engines are no problem. W&W Tire and Auto Service on Route 140, 3233 Baltimore Boulevard in Finksburg. Look for the big American flag. Call for an appointment, 410-833-8410. W&W Tire and Auto.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Lord, I was born a rambling man, trying to make a living and doing the best I can. And when it's time for leaving, I hope you'll understand that I was born a rambling man.
Seems like my life. That's what I do. Hit the road. Yep. Yep. Of course, I can sing better than Alabama there anyway. I think we might have time for one more call if you'd like to give us a call. I got a comment on the email about the poor little animals starving to death. You know, squirrels and birds and cats can fend for themselves. I think that was kind of my response to the email that I got, the drastic call that, you know, these poor animals would starve to death without the human intervention. And, you know, feral cat, squirrels, and birds.
Yeah.
You know, believe it or not, this time of year, the seeds that most birds eat are abundant. They find them. They thrive. Squirrels are survivors. They know what to do. I've had squirrels try and bury in that solid frozen ground under the snow this week. And you know what? I see squirrels out in the yard every day. I had a nice fox go through last night. I was able to catch him as he turned the security light on. Big dog fox. That's the second or third time I've seen him this year. Breeding season. He had his nose to the ground. I guess he was tracking down a female or something, but or trying to find some food. But, you know, animals will survive, and even feral cats will survive. And I feel sorry for people that think that, you know, they're standing in for God. God made these critters. He made them to survive. He made them to thrive. And, you know, he can take care of them and will take care of them. Now, do I like to see birds in the winter? Absolutely. Did I fill my feeders this year? No, I did not. This year was an experiment for me. I wanted to see what would happen. And you know what? I don't have near the birds. I don't have near the doves. I don't have near the cardinals. I don't have near the juncos. I don't have near the finches or any of that stuff in the yard. I'm sure they're around. I see them. I see them in the neighborhood, but I just don't see them in concentrations. Am I being cruel not to feed them? Probably not. Probably not. Just have the bird seed in the house. Just want to see what happens. When the birds really need the seed is in the spring and in the summer. As the crops are growing and the fruit trees are bearing fruit, that's when they need the seeds. So, all right. Just thought you'd like to know. So, I'm looking at our Facebook page, Facebook/MD Hunting Coalition, and here's what the last post says. It's been up there for 20 hours. Think about this. Senator Johnny Ray Sollings, Baltimore County District 6, is standing up for hunters in his very first term. He's pledged to advance his bill, Senate Bill 378, to expand Sunday hunting in Baltimore County for two Sundays despite the vote in the House delegation. Senator Sollings supports hunters. He sits on the Senate committee that hears our bills. Think about that. This lawmaker deserves our support, and it goes on from there. So you can check that out yourself. Facebook/MD Hunting Coalition. The website is mdhuntingcoalition.org. We welcome you to like us. We welcome you to read it and respond. The email address, if you'd like to go to on Tuesday at 1 o'clock, if you'd like to go to the hearing on Sunday hunting in Baltimore County, info@mdhuntingcoalition.org. Now get out, stay out, now scat.